I'm Farai Chidea, and this is News and Notes. Will and Jada are thinking adoption, possibly, and possibly from overseas. Are they copying Brad and Angie? And does the rise of historical British films and TV programs spell the gallows for black actors' careers? Here with the latest Hollywood hype is Newsweek's national correspondent, Allison Samuels. Hey.
Hey, how you doing?
Oh, I am doing great. And I know that we're going to talk a little bit more about your trip to Ghana and some of the reverb from that. But first up, the Smiths. Not Morrissey and the gang, but Will and Jada. You've heard word that they're planning to adopt. So what's the scoop?
Yes, they're in the process of adopting at this particular point. And the word is that they're adopting a Chinese baby, a baby from China. And that's very interesting because we've not really seen the reverse of that with African-Americans adopting children who aren't black. We've seen Angelina Jolie, Steven Spielberg, other people adopt black children, but we've not seen African-Americans, Tom Cruise, adopt non-African-Americans. And there's a lot of reasons for that, because there's so many African-American children in this country who need adoption. And of course, in Africa, there are tons of African children that need adopting. So it's an interesting twist on adoption for them. And I'm not sure if...
Is it interesting or controversial, or are some of the fans going to be mad? Because there's, you know, even when some black Americans adopt African kids, people say, well, why can't you just go next door
and adopt those children
and adopt, you know, adopt a kid from next door?
I think it's going to be controversial because I think that, you know, you question the reasoning behind it, because they've become very close with Brad and Angelina, and they've sort of done this sort of worldly adoption where kids are from, you know, Cambodia and Ethiopia. You sort of wonder if the Smiths are sort of copying that trend of let's do something different. Let's, you know, not do what's expected of us. But I also sort of wonder, how does a black couple raise a Chinese child? I just think that's going to be very interesting. It's going to take a lot of work on their part because, you know, those are two sort of minorities trying to sort of figure out how to get along in America. So I think it's going to be a challenge for them. And I do think, you know, people will sort of question exactly what they were doing. And maybe they'll change their mind. Maybe they'll go ahead and adopt an African child. But at this point, that's what they're considering, adopting a Chinese baby.
You know, in Hollywood, before we leave this topic behind, you know, sometimes these adoptions are seen as trendy.
Right.
You know, like, oh, it's like a, you know, collect them all philosophy.
Right.
Let's get one from every continent. Or,
right,
you know, it's great to show up with a black baby on your hip if you're Madonna.
Right.
Of course, who your family is a very personal decision.
Right.
How much scrutiny do they deserve? They're going to get it, but
right,
do they deserve it?
Well, I mean, you do question. I think it's impossible not to question their reasonings. They have their own children. They have three children. Will has one that he had before Jada. He married Jada. And, you know, they're very busy. So you sort of wonder, like, you know, who actually is going to raise this child, and not just raise this child, but help this child adjust to the extreme difference, you know, from coming from China to coming here and then living with parents who really don't look like them. I just think that's going to be a really difficult process. And I think they're going to get the scrutiny, and probably more so than Angelina and Brad. I think they probably have gotten a free pass in many ways that I think Will and Jada will.
You know what? If this happens, I see a memoir coming up about 20 years from now. Anyway, I want to move on LeBron James. Mm-hmm. The Cleveland Cavaliers player is making some moves off the court. He's going to be only the third man to make the cover of Vogue. There was George Clooney, Richard Gere, first black man ever to front the 116-year-old trendsetting magazine. Do you think this is a good move for him?
Oh, I think it's a great move for him. And I'm just happy that any black person can get on the cover of Vogue, because it's so difficult for a black model to get on the cover, or any kind of black actress or whatever. So I'm just happy that he can do that. Also, LeBron is, I think, a really great role model. I mean, this is a kid who came from a single parent home and has had a stellar career without any scandal, without any drama. He's a first class act, and I think the NBA loves him and respects him. And I think anything that can sort of show that the NBA is not what a lot of people think, which is this sort of, you know, team and group of young, sort of thuggish young men, because I think that is the perception in so many ways. But LeBron has sort of definitely taken that away. He's sort of the anti-Kobe, I call him, because he gets along with others, he plays well, and, you know, he's no drama. He's drama-free. But he is on the cover with Giselle
Bundchen.
Yes, he's on the cover with her. So, I mean, I just want to sort of make that clear. But I'm just happy that any African-American can get on the cover of Vogue. So I'm happy for LeBron.
So it sounds like you're a big fan of his.
Oh, yeah. No, I just love his game, you know, because he's always been a team player. And I love the fact that even though he was a high school phenom and people were, you know, talking about him crazy back then, he has all this money, all this fame, and he's handled it with so much class. And, I mean, at a young age, that's really hard to do. I mean, you see it everywhere. Britney Spears, Lindsay Lohan, they go crazy with the fame and the money. You virtually hear nothing about him. And I think that is a testament to who he is as a person and his family.
You mentioned the whole ongoing debate over whether or not black models are getting their due in the fashion magazines and on the runways. There was when New York's Fashion Week was going on, there was a lot of talk about that. Mm-hmm. Do you think there's been any movement on that, or it's just like, oh, well, too bad for you?
I think it's too bad for you. I really do. I think that they've heard the criticism, but I think in many ways, unless African Americans, actually pay attention. I mean, I'm very clear. I look at ads of designers. If they don't have or feature some kind of minority model, I don't support them. And I think that's what African Americans have to start doing. It's like, I can't buy your clothes if you're not envisioning me as the person who's wearing your clothes. And I think until that happens, people won't really take seriously the designers and the people, in Bryant Park, the fashion world, they won't take it seriously.
I want to take a quick trip through history. Showtime's popular drama, The Tudors, starts its second season at the end of the month. It's historical fiction based on the reign of King Henry VIII and stars Jonathan Rhys-Meyers as the young king, and Henry Cavill as the king's friend, Charles Brandon.
Charles.
Glad to see.
May I speak with you honestly?
I hope so.
Are you really Anna Mary, Mistress Boleyn?
Why do you ask, Charles?
I have it on very good authority that she and Thomas Wyatt were once lovers.
I've heard those rumors. She denies it.
Well, she would, wouldn't she?
I said she denies it.
All right. I have to admit, I love this bodice ripper, but it's not always great for black actors. It's like if it's set in Elizabethan England or King Henry's England, it's probably not always great for casting black folks.
Right. No. Minorities in general are sort of cut out of this whole thing. And Hollywood has sort of been on this kick for the last couple of years. There's been a number of Elizabeth movies, and they continue to sort of be fascinated with this period. And I'm not saying that period isn't interesting, but I do think that there are obviously just as fascinating stories in later years that would incorporate more people, that would actually be able to sort of bring on different minorities, African Americans, and I think in the day of Obama, I think it's very sort of distressing that those are the kind of shows and movies that people are interested in, the ones that absolutely show no one of color. I think it's complete opposites, the polar opposites of what we see the country going towards, which is a country that is not, totally white. It is very mixed. But yet these are the movies that are successful, and they got nominated for Oscars. I mean, Elizabeth gets nominated for an Oscar every time they make a movie. And I feel like, black actresses are just out of luck because you're not going to get a role in that. And behind the scenes, I can't imagine that it's any better when it comes to actually working on the film. So you just sort of wonder, where Hollywood is heading when this is the period of time that they are choosing to focus on.
I still love my bodice rippers, but there was actually my mom, God bless her, historian, pulled up all this stuff on a secret black princess in Europe who was the child of a courtesan and a queen in the French court. Oh my gosh, it's great. So that's a script. We need to work on that.
Definitely.
But moving right along, that's a true story. So we can throw some black people back in that history.
That's right.
But you just got back from a month-long program in Ghana. You were teaching math and English to grade school kids. Mm-hmm. But you got to go around the country a little bit, and there was something that was on your mind about pop culture. What was it?
I guess what was surprising to me would be that there is definitely still this ideal of beauty that is Western. And I have to admit, I will add hair in a minute. But there, every other store sold hair. Every other woman had a weave, a wig, or a perm. I was just shocked by that, because when you go to Africa, you're thinking, oh, okay, I'm going to see some naturals. I'm going to see the braids. I never saw any of that. And I guess I was really shocked, particularly since the little girls' heads are shaven. They're shaven until they're about 14 or 15. And it's like, that's a wild jump from a shaven head, which are beautiful because the little girls are beautiful with their heads like that, to then buy hair. And I was just amazed, because you can buy hair at the radio store, at the car shop. It's everywhere. And I guess that to me just... I was just sort of depressed by the fact that Western beauty is still seen as the ideal. And as I said, the little books that the children read from have Princess Diana on the cover. And the kids had no idea who she was. The teachers didn't know who she was. This is just an ideal of beauty. And I'm like, I guess I just didn't feel like that would be the case in Africa. You know, you're thinking, oh, black is beautiful, black love, African love. And, you know, a lot of the same things that we suffer from are there. And I guess that was just really depressing to me.
Well, Allison, it's great to hear your perspective. Thanks for coming back.
Thank you. Thank you.
Newsweek's national correspondent, Allison Samuels, and she joined me here at our NPR West studios.